Defending Liberty 1 hour at a time and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York. This is the Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
We are going to make America great again.
And now, here's your host, the Rhino.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Hey, hello, hello, hello. I am the Rhino, and this is my report today, Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. We're coming to you from the RWB Network Studios here in New York. A nice, cool, cloudy New York. I'll take that. I'll take it over the heat. It's been terrible here the last, 2 weeks. Too hot. Too hot for me. Hey, you know what you should never do? You should never try to break into prison. Plenty of people have tried to break out. We saw last summer at Clinton Correctional in Dannemora, New York, the two guys who escaped and were running around the woods hiding in hunting cabins for 3 weeks. But in San Bernardino at the Central Detention Center, someone was caught trying to break in, a 28-year-old man named Shane James McDonald, trying to break in. They're not sure why. He did have an outstanding warrant, and they arrested him on a suspicion of trespassing charge. So maybe he was just trying to, serve that warrant out. Maybe that was it, or perhaps he was looking for a Pokemon. I guess that's possible, too. Pokemon are everywhere. You have to be aware. You have to be aware of Pokemon. All right, let's get to today's real headlines. First, in 1979, Charlie Daniels told us that the devil went down to Georgia. But yesterday, Donald Trump claimed it was actually in Ohio. The question is, was she looking for a soul to steal? Well, perhaps just an election. And House Speaker Paul Ryan cozies up to over 400 donors at a Koch brothers retreat. Already trailing in his primary, was this a smart move? Also, we're calling to the floor one New York House Republican who's decided to betray his constituents and support Hillary Clinton. We have all that, plus the sudden resignation of NYC Police Commissioner Bill Bratton. We'll go over two new polls we have for you, and we have a breakdown of the airtime that mainstream media dedicated to the Kahn family versus that given to Pat Smith. The results probably shouldn't surprise you. But before we do anything, we have to start the show off. We have to start the show off the same way we always do, with a salute to our country, with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the Pledge of Allegiance every single day here on the Rhino Report. If you want to be heard on this show saying the Pledge of Allegiance, you can do that. You can send me your recording of your son, of your daughter, Boy Scout troop, or Girl Scout troop, bridge club, canoe club, maybe it's a hunting club, rod and reel club, whatever it is. You can send me the recording of you guys saying it to Rhino, R-Y-N-O, at rwbnetwork.com, and we'll get you on air and we'll give you a shout out. Remember to check out the two new articles we have on rhinoreport.com, one by Tina and then one by Robert. Both very good. Tina's is very poetic. Very, very poetic. I think you'll like the read. And Robert's is like a home run. It's a home run, so you gotta check that out. Rhinoreport.com, some new rhino rants are up there, lots of cool stuff. And remember to check out all of the older episodes of this show from last week, even the ones back in like April and March. People are still talking about them, so you have to check those out. And you can find them on iTunes or TuneIn, Spreaker, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Yep, we're on iHeartRadio. On iHeart. We didn't get quite the deal that Rush Limbaugh got from iHeart. Got a pretty good deal, right? $200 million, the last deal. This one is not disclosed yet, but a multi-year contract for Rush Limbaugh. It's funny because all of the liberal mainstream media outlets, and even the ones on cable news, saying there's no way, Rush is done, no more contracts for him. People can't stand him anymore. No one listens. And then here today we have a brand new contract. So we'll be hearing Rush for a few more years. I guess I can't fill that chair quite yet. Those of you who are astute listeners, you'll also realize that today's show is not a live show. We're still having some technical difficulties, so we're doing a recorded show because we don't want to miss a day. The news doesn't stop because the Rhino Report can't air live. So you can also find this version of the show on K98Talk.com at night, and that's 11 p.m. at night, and then it'll also be a replay on Red Nation Rising Radio. Right now at 2 p.m., they're listening to Friday's show. So if you are a good listener, you can hear the current show. The current show. It's like a secret track, right? Remember those old tracks on the CDs or on the records where you let the last song play and it finished, but you let it keep going and there was like a secret track at the end? These last 2 days, these are our secret tracks. Secret tracks. So we played a little fast and loose yesterday, a little loosey-goosey. We had some fun thinking that we'd be live again today, and well, I was wrong, so we're not live again today. So we can have just the same amount of fun. I thought we were going to have to rein it in, get structured again, but we're going to stay as unstructured as possible, at least for 55 minutes. All right, let's talk about what we got going on. We got, you know, this thing with Bill Bratton. I was driving to the studio, and I heard on the radio that Bill Bratton was going to resign today. And now Bill Bratton is the NYPD commissioner. He's actually a very, very good commissioner with a very extensive resume. He was the Boston commissioner from 93 to 94. He was the NYPD commissioner under Mayor Rudy Giuliani from 94 to 96. Took a little sabbatical, went back, was the chief of LAPD from 2002 to 2009. And then in 2013, Comrade Bill de Blasio hired him to be the police chief, or police commissioner, I'm sorry, once again here in New York City. And by here, I mean about 30 miles away. Good record. He's, this timing to me of him stepping down is a little suspicious. Just a little bit. Now, let me set the stage for you about what's been going on here in New York, and specifically New York City, for the last 24 hours. You're not seeing a lot of airtime on mainstream media, actually zero on mainstream media, and very, very little on the alternative cable networks. So let me set the stage for you. Last night, about 7 o'clock at night, protesters started to gather at City Hall Park. City Hall Park is right in front of City Hall, very aptly named. And they are anti-police protesters. They wanted the firing of Bill de Blasio, of Bill Bratton, Commissioner Bratton, and they also wanted to defund the NYPD. They were holding up signs. This was set to be another Occupy movement. They had no time limit on their protest. They were bringing sleeping bags and tents and the whole thing, and they were going to camp out at City Hall Park until their demands were met. Defund the NYPD and fire Bill Bratton. All right, that's what happened last night, and it's still going on. What happened this morning is almost the converse of that. Pat Lynch, who is the PBA president for the NYPD, the Police Benevolence Association president, their union, their local, he is leading off-duty officers in these rallies that are following around Mayor Bill de Blasio. Now, Bill de Blasio, just so you know, his schedule isn't very rigorous. It's not very rigorous. He gets up about 9 o'clock in the morning at Gracie Mansion in Manhattan, which is the mayor's residence. He then takes about an hour car ride to Brooklyn via limo and police escort, where he goes to Brooklyn and he then works out. He works out on a treadmill. He does whatever, a little one-pound weights, who knows, for about another hour and a half. After that, he heads next door to this cafe, this bakery slash cafe, where he enjoys his latte and a scone. All right, now we're somewhere around 11 o'clock in the morning. At that point, he then goes back to Gracie Mansion, or back to City Hall in Manhattan. Again, another hour car ride back to now he has to go to work. So he uses a lot of taxpayer money getting driven back and forth to Brooklyn all the time. I'm not sure who's paying for the scone and the latte, but it doesn't really matter at this point. So what Pat Lynch has done, Pat Lynch, again, the PBA president in New York City for the NYPD, got some off-duty officers together and they followed around the mayor. because they know where he's going. He's been doing it every day for the last 3 years. And they're following him around, and they're chanting things like one-term mayor, things like that. They're really getting in his face, really getting in his face. Now, Bill de Blasio and the NYPD have a very strained relationship, very, very strained. It has been for a long time. The killings of Officer Liu and Officer Ramos, assassinated by a gunman who was trying to avenge the death of Eric Garner, the one who was killed in Staten Island by the police for selling Lucy cigarettes. Well, not for selling them, but he was selling them. They tried to arrest him. He resisted, and he wound up dying during the struggle. The gunman who killed these two officers, he was trying to avenge the death of Eric Garner. Ever since that happened, you guys saw it on TV. The mayor went to the hospital, and all the NYPD officers there who were holding vigil turned their back on him. And then again, at the funerals for these two officers, the officers who were in attendance turned their back on Mayor de Blasio. Very, very strained relationship. Now, Bill Bratton, the police commissioner, he has kind of bridged that gap. He's kind of bridged the gap. He said it's not right, you shouldn't turn your back on the mayor, but he understands why they did it. And he's also not one to put up with corruption. Bill Bratton is not one to put up with corruption. He's a straight-laced commissioner. Always has been, always will be. Now, we're hearing he took a job in the private sector, and that him and de Blasio had this conversation in early July. In fact, they say July 7th, they spoke about Bratton possibly resigning, that there's no good time, but there is a right time. That's the quote we're hearing. I don't believe that for a second. Nothing stays a secret for almost a month. Nothing stays a secret. I believe this may have been in response to the two very different groups of protests that have been going on in the last 24 hours here in New York City. The timing is awfully curious. Awfully curious. I don't like to see anybody capitulate to protesters, especially protesters who don't work, they don't get up in the morning, they don't go to school, they don't want a job, and they don't want police officers. Now, what these protesters at City Hall Park don't understand is that in every single ecological system, there is always predator and there's always prey. Now, when you have a force, a police force, a security force, someone that's designated to keep the peace, that keeps the predators at bay. Keeps them at bay. That's what the police do here. That's what our military does around the world. When you're anti-police, you're looking for this sort of, anarchy. They're looking for this anarchy. Now, here's the problem with these protesters. These protesters will wind up being prey, and they don't realize it. They don't realize it, right? Only the strong survive. Survival of the fittest. Darwin, very, very basic. They will be the prey because these people are the ones who are anti-gun, they're anti-law enforcement, they just want to hug and get along and plant some trees and smoke some weed. That's all they want to do. It's anarchy, but they don't realize what they're actually petitioning for. Do you think these college kids who walk around with looking like hippies are going to stand any chance when the gangs take over, when the mafia takes over, when the various groups who are predators go after them? They will become the first part of prey. They will be the prey. There's no doubt in my mind. The alphas will rise, and everybody else will be the prey. Okay? And these protesters, they're not even betas. They're more like omegas. More like omegas, they're lazy, they don't want to do anything, they don't like cops because they got a ticket, because they're listening to the BLM rhetoric, whatever it is. They don't like cops, but they will be the prey because they are anti-gun, they're anti-Second Amendment, they don't like currency. Well, you know, when there's no police force and there's no security, you need to have currency and weapons. Those are the two things you need. That's what will ensure your survival. And the fact that they don't realize that really just shows how stupid they are. But I digress. The resigning of Bratton, which will take effect in September, is very curious because of that. And then you have these cops, of course, protesting and following around Bill de Blasio while he's having his scone and his latte. So this doesn't seem like it was a carefully planned thing. It seems like it was a knee-jerk reaction. Bill de Blasio's poll numbers are in the toilet. Absolute in the toilet. He's got like a 25% approval rating. He will be a one-term mayor. Now, I wonder if Bill Bratton is thinking about running for mayor against de Blasio. We have heard talk that Raymond Kelly, who of course was the police commissioner during 9/11, did a great job, that he was thinking about running against de Blasio next year. He would have Bloomberg's money. Bloomberg loves him. So Bloomberg would back that 100%. Now, can Bratton raise the money? Can he get donors? I don't know. Or is he just going to kind of sail off into the sunset, get his private sector job, make his $2 or $3 million a year, and be happy? I mean, that's a possibility, too. Bratton is not a spring chicken. Just the timing, I didn't like. It looks like the mayor's office capitulated to these low-level, nothing, dirty, stinky protesters. That's what it seems like. And that's what it's going to look like now in mainstream media, because this will now make the news. You'll hear about this all over the country, that New York City's police commissioner is resigning. Oh, and by the way, there were protests outside demanding his resignation. Okay? So that's how you're going to hear it. But I'm painting the picture for you about what's been happening here. So now you know the truth when you see it on your TV later tonight. So that's Bratton. We get that out of the way. You know, he was a good commissioner. He was. He caught a lot of crap, and I gave him some crap on this show. But the one taking his place is going to be the current chief of department, James O'Neill. Not a bad guy. Not a bad guy, but he doesn't have the star power that Bratton has. Bratton could always tell de Blasio to go stick it, because he has that star power. James O'Neill does not. So James O'Neill will definitely be doing whatever it is that de Blasio wants. James O'Neill's a big community policer, and we know what that means in these areas of Black Lives Matter and social justice. We know what community policing has come to mean. And it's not always the most effective form of law enforcement when taken to the extreme. So we'll see how James O'Neill does. Thankfully, I don't live in New York City. And you know what? I have never been good for tourism for New York City. But now, more than ever, just stay away. Stay away. If you're going to come to New York, go to the Adirondacks. Pretty beautiful. One of the most beautiful places in the world. Go out west to the western part of New York, all the farmland and the Finger Lakes. Stay away from New York City. Stay away from New York City. All right, what else do we got? We talked about the guy trying to break in the jail. We talked about Bratton. We got some of that out of the way. We got to talk about Donald Trump, because it wouldn't be a show if we didn't talk about Donald Trump. And, he makes news no matter what happens. No matter what happens, he just changes the news cycle, turns it on its ear, and we're talking about something completely different today. Now, the last two or three days, what's it been? It's been Khazir Khan. We got to talk about Khan, and Khan's going after Trump, and Trump's going after Khan, and he can't go after a Gold Star family, but Hillary can go after Pat Smith. Huh, are we done talking about this yet? No one has ever sicked a Gold Star family on a presidential candidate and won. It has never happened. Never happened. So now, Trump is in Pennsylvania. He's in Pennsylvania, and he calls Hillary Clinton the devil. He calls Hillary Clinton the devil. I don't know how this is going to play. I think he says it in passing. I don't think he says, hey guys, I got a secret. You want to know a secret? Hillary Clinton, she's the devil. I don't think he did that. I think it's just in passing. We all know that Donald Trump doesn't have a way with words. Definitely does not. He also called her a disaster and a liar. We've heard that before. And then on Hannity last night, he says something a little different. So now we have news, right? Because Donald Trump called Hillary the devil. He called her a liar. He called her a disaster. That's going to be news every day of the week. And any way mainstream media can spin that to put a negative light on Donald Trump, they will. But then on Hannity last night, he says, November 8th, we'd better be careful, because that election is going to be rigged. And I hope the Republicans are watching closely, or it's going to be taken away from us. Huh. Well, that's different, right? That's a little different. We've heard the rig thing with the primaries, and to think it wouldn't carry over into the general election rhetoric would have been naive of us. Now, I think he might be right. I do. I really think that maybe the fix is in already. But once again, he's not elaborating. You have to paint the picture for people. Not everybody is in tune to this stuff, as a lot of us are, because we eat, sleep, breathe, and drink politics. You have to paint the picture. How would they rig it? Now, me? I'm thinking tombstones, right? They're going to go around, get the names off the tombstones, and those are going to be Democrat voters. I'm thinking the Black Panther Party, they're going to be out front of polling places, because we've already seen that. We saw that in 2008. We saw that in 2012. The DOJ dropped charges against the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party. They were being charged with voter intimidation, and the DOJ dropped it. Go figure. Go figure. So you have to outline this stuff. You can't just say these broad sweeping comments. Now, the broad sweeping comments will get you airtime. They will. But then they'll get you criticism. And you have to flesh it out. You have to flesh it out. I'm not sure if Paul Manafort is making this clear to Donald Trump, but you have to flesh it out. It has to happen. But Sean Hannity is not going to hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire on this. He's not going to do it. Now, Donald Trump is going to be on Bill O'Reilly tonight. He may hold his feet to the fire a little better, a little bit. They're buddies. Don't expect some kind of a grilling interview. But O'Reilly may try to make him answer that question. How do you think it would be rigged? And you have to come up with the Black Panther Party. You have to come up with the tombstones. You have to come up with several things. Now, Donald Trump also commented on Bernie Sanders. He said essentially that he made a deal with the devil and that she's the devil. And, you know, he made a deal with her. And that was to give her his support and then back away. And that's about what happened. That's about what happened. Bernie Sanders is now just maybe he's picking eggs out of the chicken coop in Burlington, Vermont. Who knows what he's doing now? He's supposed to be campaigning. I think they gave him the use of a plane and all this stuff. So he calls her the devil. Right? He says the election's rigged, and then we have to change the news cycle, remember? And then he says that Hillary Clinton has a connection to ISIS. Here we go. Here we go. The Clinton Foundation, he says, has a connection to ISIS. What he's making claim is that there's a cement making company called Lafarge. Okay? Lafarge, maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. I don't know. I don't really care, but they've made several donations to the Clinton Foundation, and at the same time, they were signing contracts with ISIS to protect their interests in that area. So here's a company that has a connection to ISIS via contract, via agreement, and is also giving money to the Clinton Foundation. Now, this is something you can run with. It is. This is something you can run with. Will mainstream media go on and on about this? No. They will barely mention it. It barely gets a mention on Fox, okay? But here's a real issue. The devil thing, okay, conjecture, right? Maybe she's not the devil. I mean, I'm not saying she is or she isn't. Maybe she's not. But this is real. You can track this money. Always follow the money. And here he makes a real point. But he buries that real point with garbage like the devil and like Bernie's tired and saying things are rigged. Yes, the rigged thing is there. Do I think that every single vote for the Democrats that is going to be submitted this November is a real vote? No, probably not. Probably not. But to think the Republicans don't do it too would be naive. Would be naive. But here's a real issue. The ISIS thing is a real issue. You can draw a connection from a company she runs, a foundation she runs, and a contractor that's making contracts with the Islamic State. There's the real issue. See, it's like one of those blow pops. How many licks does it take to get to the center? Well, Donald Trump seems to make the pop bigger and bigger. You have to just get to the center, get to the meat and potatoes. And this is the real story. But again, it's buried by the other garbage. Buried by the other garbage. And mainstream media, you won't hear a lot about it. You might see an RNC press release, and that's it. And that's it. But that is the topic that should have come up. This should be the real topic. Not whether or not Hillary Clinton is the devil or not. Now, whether she is or not, who knows? Who knows? Speaking of the devil, Hillary Clinton, you know, she doesn't care about her supporters. She doesn't care about her supporters, and I want to tell you why, but I want to tell you after the break, because since this is a recorded show, we still have to do some sponsorship stuff. We can't avoid that, and I'm glad. You know, my sponsors are good, and you got to check them out. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to tell you just exactly why it is that Hillary Clinton doesn't care about her supporters. We'll be back here in a minute on The Rhino Report.
You're listening to The Rhino Report, always right on the R. WB Network.
So you've missed the healthcare deadline and don't have any form of healthcare? Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled but just aren't satisfied with what you've chosen, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their healthcare, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from the tax penalty and mandates imposed on individuals for not having healthcare insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org to request a free estimate. Do it today. All right, guys, welcome back to the Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, the Rhino. We're playing fast and loose again today. Again, no live show or recorded. I feel like it's the first time I'm being left alone at home without my parents. That's what I feel like this is. Like, I'm not sure what to do. We've been doing the live show for, what, 3 or 4 months now? And I'm completely now totally not used to doing a recorded show, which is how this whole thing started to begin with, even though I did do a recorded show last week for Todd Huff Radio, and we did that show. But that was the first recorded show I had done in months. All right, so here we are with recorded show number 3 in 2 weeks. I guess we're going in the wrong direction. That's kind of what it feels like. But hopefully the technical problems will be all resolved in the next coming, hopefully by tomorrow. All right, so people waiting for this rally in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, for Hillary Clinton, they were being carried out on stretchers. She doesn't care. She shows up 45 minutes late to a rally in Ohio. And there was like 50 people that were treated for dehydration. And it was only like in the, maybe high 80s temperature-wise, warm and humid. But she doesn't care. It's not like someone called ahead or she said, you know what, they called the Poland Spring truck and said, you know what, go bring these supporters some water so they don't die waiting for me. No. She shows up late. She winds up making a 21-minute speech, and then Tim Minivan Dad Kane makes a 15-minute speech. We have 36 minutes of speaking. They waited 45 minutes beyond the time it was supposed to start. They probably got there 2 hours before that. They talk for 36 minutes and say, adios, adios. It's crazy. She just doesn't care. She doesn't care about the people that are voting for her. She pretends to care. The sweet granny thing, right? I'm the sweet grandma. We've been seeing that for the last 2 weeks. In fact, you know how much she doesn't care? You know how much she doesn't care? Her campaign bus left this rally in Columbus, Ohio, and then stopped for ice cream. Yeah, they stopped for ice cream. Well, they should have sent some ice cream to these people waiting for 15 hours to hear this devil talk, right? Devil speak. We'll call it that, devil speak from now on. Unreal. Tim Kaine, 15 minutes. Listening to Tim Kaine for 15 minutes is like listening to nails on a chalkboard for 15 minutes. You just want to gouge your ears out. It's terrible. He's absolutely terrible. He looks like a mannequin. He always has the same mouth open, eyes wide look on his face, right? Oh, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. I can't believe that. Donald Trump would have sent, like, bottles and bottles of water. Trump water. You would have sent it to them. She doesn't care. Doesn't care. Speaking about people in politics that don't care, let's talk about this guy, Richard Hanna. If you don't know Richard Hanna, well, you're not alone. He's the representative for the 22nd District here in New York. Now, that district, it's a large district land-wise, not a large district population-wise. There are towns like Utica, Oneida, Binghamton, and Johnson City. It stretches from Lake Ontario in New York down to the Pennsylvania border. It's right next to what Kristen Gillibrand's district used to be before she became a U.S. Senator, God help us all. Now, Richard Hanna has decided to, well, I guess cash in his Republican banner in exchange for a Hillary banner. He's with her. And he really, this is not the first time he's done this. He has sided with Democrats for a long time. The problem is that a Democrat cannot get elected in this area of New York. Very, very Republican, very red. The entire state, a lot of you don't know this, the entire state of New York is very red. We're a very red state. It's just New York City and a little bit around Buffalo. That's it. That's the only blue in the whole state. The rest of the state, red. Red, red, red. Crayola red. So you can't get elected if you're a Democrat in the 22nd District. So he runs as a Republican, he wins, and he sides with Democrats every single chance he gets. Every single chance. Okay? He's retiring at the end of this term, so he has nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. And he actually, he has broken with the Republican line for just about his whole career. He's a member of the LGBT Equality Caucus. He supported same-sex marriage. He voted against cuts to Planned Parenthood. And he told the crowd of women to contribute your money to Democrats because they, quote, speak out on your behalf. That's a Republican in the center of New York. Now, I'm not going to make any broad sweeping inferences here, but these areas of New York are very, very rural. Outside of the exception of Binghamton, which is like a small city overrun by gangs. Overrun by gangs. That whole Broome County area, tons of gangs. They've all left New York City. Well, not all, but a lot have left New York City and gone to that area because there's just not a big police presence there. Very rural areas outside of that. They don't get a lot of this. They don't get a lot of this. They get their TV news out of Albany, which is not covering their district, or Buffalo, which is not covering their district. So they don't really see what their representative is doing, which is why he's doing this. Now, he says Clinton has stood for causes bigger than herself for a lifetime, and that matters. Well, yeah, a cause like the Clinton Foundation, which made $337 million over the last few years, pretty big cause. So I could see where it gets that. I could see where it gets that. And he said, all Republicans may not like the direction, but they can live to win or lose another day with a real candidate. So that's kind of like saying, I don't want to support her, but I do. That's kind of what he's saying. Now, here is yet another example of a representative from an area, and we'll talk about another one, a more prominent one in a second here, that's trying to now sway his district as opposed to listening to his district. Okay? He's trying to tell them, you should vote with me. That's kind of what he's saying here. Otherwise, he wouldn't be putting out a press release saying he's going to buck his party line if he didn't want people in his area to vote with him. Now, we don't elect people so that they can now sway us. That's not how this works. We elect them so they represent our opinions. It's not the converse of that. Now, a lot of people have lost sight of that. Most politicians, in fact, have lost sight of that. There's very, very few that realize that they are representative of their district, not the other way around. The most prominent one, perhaps, at this point, right now, is none other than Speaker Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan has been pushing this TPP stuff for as long as anyone can remember. Fast tracks TPP, loves it. And I'll tell you why he loves it. You know why he loves it? He loves it because the donors love it. The big money, the GOP establishment elite donors love it. Because they can now make a lot of money on free trade by opening up markets. They like it. They like it. But you know who else likes it? President Obama likes it. I think it's odd that Obama likes it. He wants TPP in the worst way. TPP will be his legacy because Obamacare, it's going away. It's going away. Not a good legacy. He likes it. Paul Ryan likes it. Meanwhile, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, both against it. Both against TPP. Now, Hillary Clinton was for TPP until, I mean, I'm for TPP, but she's for TPP. Until a couple of weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, oh, the Bernie voters don't like it? Okay, I'm against it too now. You know, the panderer in chief. So, Paul Ryan, very for it. Very for it because he needs the money. He needs the money he is getting right now. For lack of a better term, he's getting shellacked in his own district. He's losing in his primary polling. He's down over 5 points with 13% undecided. and Wisconsin is an open primary. He has a week to go until he may no longer be the speaker. He's putting a lot into this basket, into the donor basket. And here it is. He's trying to say that we need to tell the public how good TPP is. Well, his state lost 40,000 jobs in 2015 because of the preliminary TPP structure. 40,000 jobs. And that's not just his district, that's statewide. Not just in Wisconsin's first. But here we are, we have a politician telling us, no, no, guys, this is actually good for you. Not the other way around, saying, well, you know what, my constituents aren't for this, so I'm not for this. Every politician, every representative, barring a few, think that they are the king of their districts. They're the lords. Is this starting to sound a little familiar to people? Those who don't learn from history are due to repeat it. Every representative thinks they're the lord of their district, and they all report to the king, in this case, the King Obama. It shouldn't be you have to convince your district. It should be your district says no, guess what? I say no too. I represent them. And the fact that Paul Ryan, forget what he does as the Speaker of the House, the fact that he refuses to represent his district's views, to me, is the reason why he needs to lose his primary. Needs to lose it. Now, Donald Trump hasn't all-out endorsed the primary challenger, Paul Nealon. But, hey, Tea Party advocate, Sarah Palin has. She's endorsed him. A full-throated endorsement. She's campaigning for this guy. I had never heard of him before. Maybe you guys have. If you have, you're better than me. But he's winning. He's got, 46-41, I think it is. Yeah, with 13% undecided. You know what he sounds like? You know what Paul Ryan sounds like? He says here, we're flirting with various forms of progressivism, and there are Republican forms of progressivism. Teddy Roosevelt was a Republican. Did we just take a swipe at Teddy Roosevelt? The guy's on Mount Rushmore, for crying out loud. Paul Ryan will never be on Mount Rushmore. He'll be lucky to even visit Mount Rushmore. And then he says, we gotta win some fights, some of these fights, on behalf of free market system. We have our work cut out for us. He says that the Republican Party is being taken over by progressive populists. He has said this a few times, progressive populists, and that we have to reject the progressive populists like Donald Trump. So now this is war with Donald Trump. Absolute war. And Donald Trump will take him to task, especially if he loses his primary, especially. But does this sound a little bit like what Obama said, what was it, 7 or 8 years ago, when he said, they'll tell you that tyranny is lurking around every corner. You must reject these thoughts. Doesn't it sound similar? It sounds similar. Reject this progressive populist and people like Teddy Roosevelt and people like Donald Trump. The Republican Party has a big problem. I thought we sort of cleared this up a few months ago. I guess not. I guess it's getting worse. Because not only do you have two factions, not only do you have the Trumpers, the never-Trumpers who are ultra-conservative, now you have the GOP elite. You have these three factions now that have now sort of taken to their corners. Some of the never-Trumpers who are the ultra-conservatives are starting to realize that Hillary Clinton can't win. She can't win. Okay? So they're starting to slowly trickle over to the Trump camp. It's the GOP elite that has now been really, really alienating itself. And they don't care if Hillary wins. They don't care. Because they'll push this TPP through, they'll get tons of money from their donors, will then contribute to them, and then get them reelected, and then now they can tell their constituents how great this is for them. Instead, again, of the other way around. The GOP elite, they're the lords. They're the lords of their districts. Kind of makes us more like the lords of the flies. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Now, I think when Paul Ryan is on his game, when he really wants to represent the people, he can do it as good as anybody else. I believe he has a good heart, but I believe his back is against the wall right now. Against the wall. If there's going to be any voter tampering, this would be the district to watch. Especially for their primary. Especially. Paul Ryan, again, he's playing a dangerous game. He's playing the game that Ted Cruz is playing. Hoping that Donald Trump loses. That's a dangerous game. You can look at these poll numbers all you want. They are not correct. They're correct for their sampling. Yes, within their sampling, there's a 3% margin of error, and they're not too far off from their own sampling. But their samplings are skewed. We're going to talk about just two more now. Two more polls we have today where Donald Trump is down by just a couple of points, but the sampling is totally, totally skewed. Betting against Donald Trump, betting against an idea of an American exceptionalism, betting against a nationalism is a dangerous, dangerous move politically right now. Look how fast they dropped. In the primaries, right? Jeb Bush, gone. Lindsey Graham, gone. Scott Walker, gone. Rick Perry, gone. All guys who would have been great, great presidents. Every single one of them. Maybe with the exception of Jeb Bush. Maybe. But even he, I would have taken over Hillary. And then you had this dust-up with McCain about how he's not a war hero. Now, Donald Trump may have been a little off there. May have been a little off. But you know what? McCain is still suffering the consequences. He's going to lose his primary, too. Dr. Ward's going to win that primary, probably. The other two challengers bowed out and lent their support to her. The GOP establishment, the GOP elite, they're feeling it. They're feeling their backs against the wall. And that's when they start turning to, all right, my constituents are dumb. I'm going to tell them how it is. I'm going to force opinions on them. And we don't like it. And what happens when we don't like it? We go out and we vote. And that's why Donald Trump is so popular. Because we don't like the way things are going. So we went out en masse and voted 16 million times for Donald Trump in the primaries. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some polls. Got a couple of polls, too. We got NBC, and we got a YouGov poll. And then I want to go over some of the breakdown in mainstream media airtime for the Khan family, and as well as Pat Smith. So, guys, hang in there. Little break. We'll be back here on The Rhino Report.
You're listening to The Rhino Report, always right on the RWB. Network.
So you've missed the healthcare deadline and don't have any form of healthcare? Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled but just aren't satisfied with what you've chosen, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their healthcare, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from the tax penalty and mandates imposed on individuals for not having healthcare insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org to request a free estimate. Do it today. All right, guys, welcome back to the Rhino Report on this, I guess it's a Tuesday, August 2nd. I'm all thrown off, we're not live, my bumper music isn't the same, I have no constraints, I can go wherever I want with the show, so I'm all thrown off. But before we close up the TPP chapter today, just FYI, Obama will be meeting with Singapore's Prime Minister Lee, who is an avid proponent of TPP. Well, why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be? You get to trade with this country for free. You know, trading with this country should be a privilege, not a right. Should be a privilege, not a right. But they're going to be meeting. He's going to be honored by a State Department dinner. So it'll be the first time since 1985 that's a Singaporean, I guess that's a word, is honored by a State Department dinner since 1985. And, yeah, hey, listen, this is going to be an issue for Hillary Clinton. Going to be a big issue, because she's been trying to separate herself from TPP, yet President Obama is very, very much in favor of it, and she's trying to get closer to him. So it's like they're joining at the knees, but separating at the top. She wants to stay close to the president. He kind of reins her back in during the convention as she tried to separate herself a little bit beforehand. This is going to be a point of contention. Who knows? The president may say to her, listen, I can't campaign for you if you're not in favor of TPP. So who knows? This is a separate issue that they're going to have. And it may be a very, very divisive issue for their party. Very well could be. And if she goes with it, you could see Bernie denounce her. You could see Bernie denounce Hillary, because that was one of his things that he wanted in the party platform, and he got it because he got everything he wanted, with nothing in return, really. All right, so that's TPP. We talked about Paul Ryan. We got some polls. I got the Economist YouGov poll. This is a weekly presidential election tracking poll, July 30th to August 1st. Sampling is 1,300 adults nationwide, 933 of which are actually registered. That's a lower number than normal. Usually it's about 1,000 registered, so I'm not sure why they changed that. But I'm sure we'll find out once we read into this poll just a little bit. This is an online poll, and when I did my math and I used my little brain that I have inside of my head, I came up with that they interviewed about 300 more Democrats than Republicans in this poll. They did not give us a breakdown. YouGov and The Economist, they don't give you a breakdown of who they sampled. So just keep that in mind. So with about 300 more Democrats surveyed in this poll, drum roll please, Hillary Clinton 46, Donald Trump 43. Three points. Let's see, Donald Trump has the white vote in this poll by 11. Hillary has the black vote, 82 to 10. That's an odd number. 10 would be a very high number for Donald Trump. He's been around 5 with the black vote, so who knows how right on this poll is. I don't think it's on that well. Hispanics, Hillary takes those 53 to 31. 31 is up for Donald Trump. Usually he's in the low 20s. Party support. Hillary Clinton gets 86% of Democrat support. Donald Trump gets 88% of Republican support. This, of course, this poll was taken after both conventions, not just the one. So you can't say that someone got a bump and someone didn't. Donald Trump has the crossover here. He gets 8% of Democrat support. Hillary gets 4% of Republican support. And independents go Trump 42 to 40. We're seeing that in a lot of polls. Donald Trump has never held a lead in the Economist YouGov poll. That goes back to they started a head-to-head matchup in February of this year. So he has never held a lead there. There's lots of favorability numbers here. Unfavorable for Hillary is 54. Favorable is 44. That seems a little bit lower than we've been seeing lately on her unfavorable. Donald Trump gets crushed here. Unfavorable 64. Favorable 33. Getting crushed in that area. His unfavorables have gone up since 3 years ago, but 3 years ago no one was really considering him to be a viable contender for the presidency. Over the last, looks like 6 weeks here, he's actually gone down a little bit, his unfavorables, just a little bit. Hillary's about the same as 6 weeks ago, so people are kind of picking their pony. Now, this the Economist YouGov poll, you have to take with a grain of salt, like all of them, because it is an online poll, and they say that they have like a 3% margin of error, but that's only within their sampling. I think what's odd about some of these polls, what's very odd, and we'll talk about it in the next one, is some of them are starting to limit the amount of independents that they're polling. And that's because the independent vote is not showing what they want. It's not showing a huge lead for the Democrat. So when they factor in the independent vote, that's now turning it in Donald Trump's favor. And you see places like CNN. CNN 2 weeks ago apologized in their poll. In the poll abstract, they apologized for Donald Trump winning. That's what they apologized for. All right, NBC News poll, a generally very skewed poll. This has Clinton at 50. Trump at 42, when you add in the law firm of Johnson and Stein, 42 go to Clinton and 38 go to Trump. 9 points for Johnson, 4 points for Stein. We'll see that number on Stein come up probably just a little bit, probably just a little bit. This day, all the stuff about how did you feel about the DNC convention, we don't care about that. We feel like we were lied to. How about that? How's that sound? Interesting about this poll. 12,742 registered voters, okay? 5,358 of which were Republican, 5,809 were Democrat. So they surveyed 10% more Democrats. Okay, that's generally okay. But when you start doing some simple math, they only polled 1,575 independents. Yet in this poll, one third of the country, of the 12,000 people, identify as independent. So why wouldn't your sampling be reflective of what people are saying that they are? That doesn't make any sense to me. It makes no sense. They've only have 12% of the total poll is represented by independents. Meanwhile, 33% of the country says they are independent. Huh. Interesting. Could it be that the independents, again, weren't giving them the answer they wanted? Very possible. Very possible. When you see Donald Trump leading in polls, well, they don't make mainstream media. They don't tell you a lot about it. They mention it for a brief second, and that's it, because they paid money to have it commissioned, so they'll mention it for a second. But when Hillary Clinton's leading, it's like stapled across the bottom of the screen. Stapled across it. Number one, most important to you right now, number one, jobs in the economy, number two, terrorism, number three, health care. That's what you get when you survey more Democrats. And number four, here's education. That's not number four in any other poll, just as NBC News Survey Monkey poll. What else do we have here? Let's see, 50-42, we went over that. The law firm of Johnson & Stein, we went over that. There's not much in this poll. The only part that really puts this poll out is the and makes it hard to look at numbers-wise for a realistic gauge is the such a little number of independents polled. Very, very small number. They don't even give you a party support breakdown in this poll. Any poll that does not give you a party support breakdown, you have to throw it out. You got to throw it out. Because what that's meaning here is that means the independents were surging for Trump, and they don't want to show that. They don't want to show that because you don't want to tell the independents that most of them are going to Trump, because then the ones who are undecided go, well, you know what, I'm independent too, so maybe I'll vote with Trump. So they left that out. You can throw that SurveyMonkey NBC poll in the garbage. All right, last thing for today. Last thing, and then we're done. I promise we're done. We got to talk about the airtime that was dedicated to Khazir Khan over the airtime that was dedicated to Pat Smith. We all figured it was way more for Khan, right? Way more, and well, you know what? You were right. Media Research Center did some research between July 19th and August 1st of ABC, CBS, and NBC to see how much airtime they gave these two Gold Star families. NBC and CBS and ABC only dedicated 1 minute and 10 seconds. 1 minute and 10 seconds over that entire stretch of time to Pat Smith. However, those same networks spent 55 minutes and 13 seconds on Khazir Khan. 1 minute and 10 seconds for somebody who is calling Hillary Clinton a liar, and 55 minutes and 13 seconds for Khazir Khan, who went on to trash Donald Trump. Absolutely trash him. Not to mention his law firm is also a big donor to the Hillary campaign. Pat Smith, ABC, 13 seconds. CBS, 3 seconds. NBC, 54 seconds. That's your total of 1 minute and 10 seconds. And then Khazir Khan, ABC, 14 minutes, 21 seconds. CBS, 9 minutes, 13 seconds. NBC, 31 minutes and 39 seconds for your total of 55 minutes and 13 seconds. Don't for a second, no pun intended, think that mainstream media is not in the tank for somebody. Absolutely in the tank for Hillary Clinton. The difference right here is that they are not beholden to giving equal airtime to Khazir Khan and Pat Smith. That's why they made it such a huge gap. Usually it's a second here, a second there. They got to be equal between Hillary and Donald. Usually they'll play a bad clip of Donald and a nice clip of Hillary. That's usually how they do it. That's how they get people to sway opinions. But here, they're not beholden to that because these are not politicians. So they can do whatever they want. And because we're recorded today, we can do whatever we want. But we have to end at 55 minutes. So there are some constraints. Guys, it's been fun. Hopefully tomorrow we're back with the live show on CRNTalk.com at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and Red Nation Rising Radio. And as always, a huge thank you to those serving our country at home and abroad. And a big thank you to those in the law enforcement community. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all your hard work. We all depend on you. God bless all of you. God bless all of your families. And until tomorrow, I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.